In the second session, we'll be looking at connected in unity. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. So let's take a look at the passage of Scripture first. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, beg you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all lowliness and meekness, with patience, forbearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in all. Okay, so let's take a look here. We want to look at staying united to one another. Have you ever been in a situation in which unity is required for the situation to be successful? I think, for example, perhaps a team working on in a manufacturer company needing to work together to be able to produce a good product. Each person has their part to play, but yet they have to respect and honor the part of the other and oftentimes need to align themselves with the person that they are working with. The goal of this session is to look at how unity is a gift from the Lord, how we can maintain that unity in our midst. But first of all, Paul speaks about spiritual growth comes to the church when we take responsibility for maintaining and strengthening unity amongst one another. Unity just doesn't happen. It happens because we respond to the Holy Spirit who is provoking our hearts to come into unity, to maintain unity with each other. We'll be practically looking at in future sessions how that unity is worked out and maintained. But certainly the concept and the truth of the unity of the Spirit is a towering theme in Ephesians chapter 4. Union with each other is displayed, for example, in the creed that we pray together, certain doctrinal understandings, in our worship together, how we worship. But also there's the kind of unity that we're called to have towards one another that upholds and respects one another and respects both the positions of each other in the body of Christ, the gifts the Lord has given, but to respect each other as first and foremost a brother and sister in Christ. Our fundamental relationship to one another before we minister, before we engage in any kind of service to the body of Christ, is that we are brothers and sisters to one another in Christ. You have to remember, the world oftentimes will measure our own abilities or our own sense of identity based on what we can accomplish and what we can do, whether we do it well or not. A lot of times we take those same understanding right into the body of Christ, and we evaluate one another and ourselves on the basis of whether we're successful in what we do. That is not how the New Testament sees us at all. The New Testament begins with the place where we first are in Christ, as we looked at last session, but then also, who are we to one another? We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're members of the household of faith. That's our fundamental relationship to one another before our service, our gifts, our ministry. If we don't see that, oftentimes, then our relationships in the body of Christ will end up becoming competitive, sometimes can become manipulative, sometimes become a party spirit that's developed. This is what we need to repent of. But the fundamental repentance is the failure to see ourselves as the New Testament sees us, as brothers and sisters in Christ, members of the same household. So the basis of unity begins here, and the bond of peace begins here. That is, in ourselves as brothers and sisters in Christ because of our connection to Christ, and in particular, our connection to Christ through baptism. That's how we begin to preserve the unity of the Spirit with each other. So take a look, verse 1. Paul says, I exhort you, or I, a prisoner of the Lord, beg you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. What is that manner worthy of calling? It's an attitude of disposition that we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and that our unity to one another flows out of that relationship that we have. He calls it a call, which means an invitation from the Lord of what the Lord is doing. No one here manufactured the unity. The unity is a gift given to us by the Holy Spirit in baptism. He says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism in verse 5. One God and Father of us all in verse 6, who's above all and through all and in all. So in the body of Christ, we are sons and daughters to the Father and brothers and sisters to one another in Christ. Therefore, Paul says we've been invited into this. So it's a gift. We don't earn it because of our title in the body of Christ. We don't earn it because of our ministries or performances or services or positions. It is given as a gift to be received and a gift to be maintained, a gift to grow in when we relate to one another as sisters and brothers in Christ. Continue on in verse 2, Paul talks about how we are to respond to one another because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, with all lowliness and meekness, with patience, forbearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Humility is to characterize our relationships to one another. The word humility here is to think of ourselves as insignificant in relationship to one another. What do we mean by that? That doesn't mean you put yourself down. That means you prefer the other over yourself. It's important to remember that the lack of humility can lead to division, can lead to a party spirits amongst each other. So we see in the ancient world, humility was something that was despised. But in the Christian world, New Testament world, humility was a prized virtue because it reflected Christ's humility. Just read Paul's letter to the Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, verse 9. And you get a picture that because of Christ's humility, we are called to walk in humility to one another. He goes on to talk about meekness, or another word for that would be gentleness. Calls us to be peacemakers, forbearing one another in love. So he talks about recognizing that we have a fraternal relationship to one another as sisters and brothers in Christ. Patience here, or forbearing one another, is another way to talk about patience, which would be long-tempered, meaning that we endure many things with each other. In other words, we kindly put up with one another, if you were, would. So verse 3, Paul goes on to talk about here, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit, which we mean we strive to preserve the unity of the Spirit. We adopt attitudes that are of Christ, that we want to protect the peace and the unity of our relationships above all things. That's why we walk in humility, gentleness, patience, and forbearance to one another. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, so which means and implies that we have a concern for one another, that we have a watching out over one another. As John Wesley, the Anglican reformer in the 18th century, says that we are to watch over one another in love. That's really our goal, is to watch over one another in love. And then verse 5, we see where one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. We see where it's our allegiance to Jesus is the number one allegiance in our life. But that allegiance to Jesus is to lead us to one another in humility, patience, forbearing one another, and meekness and lowliness to maintain the unity of the Spirit. The one baptism we share is the baptism into the life of Christ. This is the life of Christ, how we see one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember, this comes all before our ministries, our performances, our services in the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, you could easily say that our ministry, our services in the body of Christ, our positions, all flow out of this fundamental relationship that we're sons and daughters of the Father and brothers and sisters in Christ to one another. Finally, Paul says that the God and Father of us all is above all and through all and in all, which means that it's God's presence and activity through his gifts working in the body of Christ. So, just to conclude then, the unity of the Spirit flows out of our identity as sisters and brothers in Christ, as sons and daughters of the Father, and that this precedes any ministry or performance or services in the body of Christ, and that the unity of the Spirit we're called to receive as a gift through our baptism, and then we're called to maintain that unity. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for calling us into the body of Christ through the waters of baptism, through the death and resurrection of your Son, and through the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of unity you call us into with each other. Help us to live and walk in that unity as members of the church, as brothers and sisters to one another. Help us to see each other as sisters and brothers in Christ. And we pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen.